and welcome to a great edition of Talking Ticks. I am Scott Girard. Joining me as always, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zollinger. We got a good one this week because we know where LSU baseball is headed for the postseason, or I guess we should say where they're staying for the postseason. Tigers grab a top eight seed, so we're staying home at least until we go to Omaha. So we got all that to talk about. Going to recap the SEC tournament, of course, but hope you have both had a good, nice long holiday weekend, Memorial Day, and, you know, celebrated responsibly. But you just want to check in with y'all to see how you're doing. But, yeah, happy to recap it with you. What's going on with y'all?
Good to be with you. Not much going on. Excited about the tournament. The College World Series tournament, not the SEC tournament. But glad to be talking with you about a successful baseball season.
Yes, so
kind of put a button on the regular season.
Exactly. I had a good Memorial Day weekend. Happy Memorial Day to all the listeners. Happy early birthday to Tommy, whose birthday is tomorrow. So maybe LSU can give us some presents in the weekend regional here coming up. But yeah, I think things are setting up pretty nicely. Hopefully the weather will be good down there at the box in Baton Rouge, and get ready for some weekends packed with baseball. And yeah, looking forward to breaking all that down with y'all today.
Yeah. I mean, it was a packed weekend with the SEC tournament. They did move some things around because of forecasted weather, but got it all in time. Greg Sankey wasn't faced with another awful decision of having to appoint two teams waiting to play a championship game. Is yay, you're both co-champions. Didn't have that happen. Vandy won it outright over Ole Miss, but at least we got our one win against Texas A&M to secure what we thought would have been, you know, the one win we needed to get that top eight seed. Would have been nice to have won past that, but I don't know. You can kind of tell that's all that Jay Johnson really cared about in the moment. That and just whatever can help him for the following weekend for the regionals. But first things first, we did get the win against A&M, won it 4-3. Had some, we started the offense early, which looked good, and then it just kind of piddled out. Luckily, our pitching was strong, you know, Kate Anderson, obviously. And then after that, he brought in Ianson. So, you can probably take a couple guesses, but, you know, if you're following things closely like we do, you know that, well, Jay definitely wanted to get this win, but I think just in case, you know, something funky happened, because you know what, A&M came back against Carolina with like two grand slams in the bottom of the ninth in one of their games. So he's like, well, I can get this win and just bring in one of my guys to close it. But, you know, what if they didn't? Then LSU's out and he doesn't get to have Ianson pitch anything this week. So I think that's why he did it. It kind of made sense once you think about that's his goal. Plus, it already seemed like we had the win. But again, anything could happen. Of course, the next game, man, it was 2-0 Ole Miss. I mean, what more could you ask for with our pitching? It would have been nice to have some bats, like even a run. I think that was like the first time we were shut out all year, right?
Yeah. So
it's great to know that we are top eight. We're actually number six. So we have that going for us, which is nice. But, man, it would have been nice to have another win, even though we didn't really need it. I just feel like our bats needed it. You know, it's like I don't think we have to prove anything else pitching-wise, right? Like Jaden Newton, all the guys came in great for game three. It was none of our starters. We held Ole Miss to two runs. You're thinking, should be enough to win you a game. But no offense.
Tom, I mean, you would think so.
Will we find the solution by Omaha?
Man, you gotta hope so. I feel like we got unlucky with a cold day against Ole Miss because everything else has been plugging along. Our bats were just downright cold. We left people on base. We're bad situationally hitting. But like you said, I mean, we've always talked about pitching on this podcast as far as, you know, what gets you further into postseason baseball and gets you to, and, you know, can make you dangerous in Omaha. We seem to have that. Let's hope we can get the, and I think that as a top eight seed, we've got a good opportunity to obviously we're hosting at home, but, you know, we should be the big dog in our field and be able to continue to tune up, against a field that's kind of, you know, highlighted by Dallas Baptist, which is a team we've played before. So kind of excited about that. Just having a little bit of prior knowledge on our field.
We beat them earlier this year in what was it, Round Rock?
Is it either Round Rock or in Dallas?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so just to kind of recap on the SEC tournament a little bit, we got out to a quick start against A&M in that first game, putting two runs on the board in the first inning with a Ethan Fry double. And then I think another single to score one more. And meanwhile, Kate Anderson was absolutely mowing them down. He had, I think, 8 out of the first 9 batters he faced, he struck out and finished with 12 Ks and 6 innings. So can't ask too much more of him. And then Fry got another 2-run home run in, I think, the third inning. And that was kind of all she wrote for the bats after that. From that 2-run blast until the end of the Ole Miss game was nothing. We went 15 straight scoreless innings, which is kind of crazy. And I don't know if we've had a streak like that in a long, long time. And so if we have anything close to that offensive performance coming up here in the regional, we may be in trouble. The bright spot, as we mentioned, was that pitching. We saw Jay Johnson's strategy when he plugged in Anthony Ianson to start the seventh inning against Texas A&M, which was unexpected, at least to me, and I think to most of the fan base, considering we had pretty solid relievers and Zach Cowan and Kason Evans, among others. So it's like, oh boy, our day two starter like is coming in here. Are we basically just throwing this tournament like just to get the one win? And we did lock it down. A&M got one run. We ultimately closed it out with the one run win. If we had lost that game against A&M using our two top starters, that would have been pretty depressing. And that probably would have knocked us out of the top eight national seeds, I would have thought. But he put all his eggs in one basket. We got the win. And it was on to Saturday against Ole Miss. Like we said, only two hits on the whole day, 2 for 27. So a batting average like that is not going to put many numbers on the board. The pitching was good with Jaden Newt kind of getting that surprise start role, and then supplemented by a few other guys coming off the bench between Chase Shores and Jacob Myers, each getting over two innings of work. So good stuff there, but the bats were awful. Derek Curiel and Jared Jones struck out like 4 times a piece, and everybody else really just was having issues. So I don't know what the problem was there. Hopefully they were in the batting cage this upcoming week, just getting some work in and warming up, because we'll really need that. At least, I mean, we'll get into it here in a second, but I think the regional is shaping up pretty favorably in terms of the teams that we're playing. So there's nothing on the page there that you're like, this is just a horrific matchup for LSU or very scary. So I think things will be good, especially back at the box where we've had a lot more success, and the home crowd will be behind them at least. So it should be fun, and hopefully we can get things on a better track.
Yeah, and LSU can pad its numbers as far as their attendance, because you know the box is going to, I don't know if it's going to completely sell out, but they're going to sell almost all those tickets because we led the all of D1 baseball in ticket sales this year. Definitely not a problem in Baton Rouge. But I imagine the offense will be there. It's interesting, though, because you could tell that Jay Johnson was concerned about setting up his pitching right for, the SEC tournament, but also the following weekend when we host the regional. But man, it didn't really seem like they were doing much as far as the offense goes. I think it's just like, all right, we're going to play Ole Miss, but they didn't really, I don't know. It's like you said, two hits. That's just like, there was no,
and this was against their like third starter or something. This was not their like number one guy or anything.
Right.
I don't know. This is in our defense, but I do think that we sold out to win that first game, and the rest of it didn't, you know, it didn't really matter to the team.
Right. So you can assume they'll have a different mentality in the regional, super regional, and in Omaha. But yeah, but again, I don't know. It's like, you can just, all right, is he going to start tinkering with the lineup let's say regional or super regional on a, you know, you're in a must win situation. Like, is that the time to start tinkering? I think I'd have done it the Ole Miss game.
Well, he also with the fact, and Jay Johnson mentioned it, but he wanted to get Anthony Hines in some work guaranteed, because if we had ended up losing that game to A&M, then that's one and done, and Ianson doesn't pitch at all, so he goes into the regional 2 weeks cold. So it makes sense that he got him a few innings in relief, and plus it got us that win to boost the RPI a little bit and try and secure the seed. And then they're operating kind of on their normal 7-day-ish weekly schedule, so nobody's too out of rhythm. And then, I mean, we mentioned that the teams for the regional, I think, was number 2, Dallas Baptist, number 3, Rhode Island. I'm not even sure what their mascot is, the Rams, I think. And then number 4, University of Arkansas, Little Rock. So we'll be playing Arkansas, Little Rock in the first game on Friday. And then everybody online is like, are we going to throw Kate Anderson against this team that didn't even finish with a winning record? They just happened to get hot and win their conference tournament. They were like 20. I had it here a second ago. They finished the season 24-32. So we're not exactly the Titans of college baseball. I was like, should we save him for later? But I think Jay Johnson is still going to throw him. I mean, the counter example is that he pitched Paul Skeens in game 1 against a losing record Tulane team 2 years ago when everybody said he should bench him. And we ultimately won that one. So you can't really fault him. So I kind of expect, Kate Anderson to go on Friday again and just try and stay in the winner's bracket and keep things hot.
By the way, not to throw in some unneeded controversy, but it looks like now they go by Little Rock. Like, we're not Arkansas Little Rock, we're locked. They have that ULL type of – I kept looking up, it says Little Rock. Don't you mean Arkansas Little Rock? Because I was just looking it up after Daniel said, but no, they go by Little Rock now, even though they're still in Arkansas Little Rock. So good for them. But you know what? I think they were the – worst team in their conference. They had a losing record overall, a losing conference record. They just happened to win their conference tournament. Welcome to the dance. We will be excellent hosts at the box and escort them directly to
back to Little Rock.
Hopefully.
I imagine we will. But then, we will likely face, we'll face either Rhode Island or Dallas Baptist. Although we imagine it would be Dallas Baptist. We did face them earlier this year. We did beat them. We only played them that one game. And whoever wins that, let's just go ahead and say it's going to be LSU. We would then welcome the winner of the Clemson Regional. That would be Clemson, and then West Virginia is number 2. They have Kentucky, so another SEC team, of course. And then USC Upstate. And I had to check that one again too. It's like USC Upstate. Why? I don't know. It's just another one. I guess that's a directional, although it's kind of still vague. It's just, it's Upstate a little bit, just up there. Like those old school directions you got in the 80s or 90s in small towns. Like, just go that way and keep going. Just head upstate. You'll find it, can't miss it. Anyway, that's who we're going to get. I imagine, I don't know. I would think Clemson, like they played in the ACC title game, got blown out by UNC though. So if it is Clemson, interesting matchup, because wouldn't you know, we're going to be facing them in their stadium for football just a couple months later or 3 months later. So you could say it's a coincidence, but that's our pairing. I'd say it's a pretty good draw for LSU overall though. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, I think so. You avoid, you avoid some real murderer's row. You look at their side. Clemson obviously the favorite, but like you said, Scott, with Kentucky, that's a team that I wouldn't be afraid to play. I mean, West Virginia, 41-14. I haven't watched them play, but that's an impressive record. Anytime you get 40 wins, that's pretty good. But I think overall, I like where we're at.
I agree. You don't really want to look too far in advance. You have to deal with the teams in front of you this week. But it does make sense that things could shake out pretty well for LSU, especially because if we win our regional, no matter what, they're going to be coming to Baton Rouge to play us here. We don't have to go to Clemson or to Kentucky or West Virginia to play at their place. Clemson's a solid team and has done well in the ACC, which I would argue is probably the second best overall baseball conference after the SEC. So they're decent. And yeah, West Virginia, they got I don't really know too much about them. They got a good record, but at least according to the RPI, they have a really poor strength of schedule. So they're not rated super highly there. And then I think Kentucky is kind of one of those like last four in type of teams, like in the SEC, like they were kind of middle of the pack, but not like a Texas or an Arkansas or somebody who you're definitely like pretty intimidated to match up against. And then, yeah, back on our side, our first match against Arkansas Little Rock, I don't foresee us having much problems with them as long as we come out and don't absolutely flop. The Dallas Baptists, they're a pretty good team. We did beat them 7-3 earlier in the season, but things can change. Obviously, LSU hitting pretty cold. Dallas Baptist has three solid starters, including Micah Bucknum, who was a former LSU Tiger, and he's done pretty well on the year for them, starting 12 games, going 6-1. So we could be facing him, which would be pretty interesting, whether he's got the juice against his former team. And then, yeah, Rhode Island, they won their league, the Atlantic 10, so they're on a little bit of a hot streak. But again, they don't play the toughest competition up there. So I think LSU overall is definitely favored, and rightfully so. So I like our chances. These teams could spoil it, but there's nobody like where sometimes you get put in the matchup like two SEC teams in one regional or something. You're like, or like if they had thrown in Mississippi State or somebody in our regional. But I think we'll be okay, and hopefully we can continue to play some postseason baseball going forward.
Yeah, and just like you said, anyone can contend. I would say you could look at the top eight seeds and I'll go down it, but any one of these teams are beatable. And we've actually, we've played Texas, Arkansas, and Auburn. Fared well against Arkansas. And coincidentally, Daniel said not to look too far ahead with these things. Sorry, I'm going to.
That's okay.
If we did win the Super Regional, if you follow the bracket, it looks like that's who we'd be paired with that first game in Omaha. So, again, kind of like a favorable draw all the way down towards Omaha for LSU. They still got to win, though. They still got to deliver, show up. But just to go over the top eight seeds, number one, Vandy. I guess, they won the SEC tournament. They've
been hot.
Looking strong towards the end, I guess, right? It's got to be somebody. Good for them. Don't want to be top eight, top one, but then after that's Texas, a little bit more understandable. Then Arkansas, then Auburn, who hasn't really done anything since they swept us, but people still see them as a strong team. They're number four. Then North Carolina, who, like I said, just won the ACC. Then LSU. Then Georgia, who's kind of always stayed within the top 5 to 8 this whole year anyway. They've had really good offense, and they've had enough to stay in it. And then rounding it out at number eight is Oregon State, who didn't even have a conference this year. They were playing independent, had 41 wins, which you think, like you said, Tommy, all right, that's definitely commendable. What's more impressive is they only had 19 at home because of their schedule. This Pac-12 kind of falling apart, they had to piece together a schedule, and they just ended up only getting 19 at home. So they kind of did that quietly throughout the year.
I heard that actually helped them a lot because the RPI favors road wins a lot more than home wins. So since they had so many road wins, that's how they kind of juiced up the RPI even against not so good teams, and that ended up helping them. So I don't know if that's a strategy or they kind of lucked into it.
kind of lucked into it. But that's what we're looking at. Like I said, any one of those teams I think are beatable, but we'll likely face Arkansas should we make it out of our super regional. But, that's that, man. Again, it would have been nice to have a stronger sense of LSU's offense after the SEC tournament. I feel better about the pitching though, because man, Newt looked good for four innings at least. Everybody after that, we held them to two runs. Regardless of which pitchers we were facing from them, we still held their bats to two runs. And I don't know. I think that's kind of what we had in 2023, right? It was just seeing who we had beyond Paul Skenes, and everybody else. So I don't know. Do you, I mean, you said it earlier, it's kind of like a give and take, right? Same with football. We had this great defense. Oh, all we're missing is a quarterback. And then the last few years we've had great quarterbacks, but our defense has been gone. Baseball, kind of the same thing. It's like, man, we have a great offense. Oh, if we only had like two or three solid starters, we always had just one guy. And then Johnny Holstaff after that. But now we have good pitching. But now is it always going to be a give and take? Is that always the case?
It might be a give and take, but I mean, we've seen that this lineup can produce runs.
It can.
This is not a poor offensive lineup. I think overall we've had a poor stretch, but I mean, 2 weeks ago, you know, Jared Jones was hitting bombs out of the box. I expect him to do the same this weekend.
Yeah,
I think it's good that we're gonna, you know, we have our regional, we have our super regional host sites, and we're gonna have basically two weeks to really settle in and get right.
And it may be a bit of a flimsy excuse, but we have been facing SEC pitching over the last 6 weeks or so, and I think everybody knows that SEC has some of the best players, and so it does make sense that our averages have tailed off, especially towards the end, and there are no other SEC teams in our regional, and only one in the one we're matched up against with Kentucky. So, I mean, these other teams, they're not weak by any means, but they may not be quite the same caliber of pitching that we've been facing, and so that gives you maybe a little bit of optimism for our chances to see a rebound here. I think we just need a spark where some of these veteran guys like Jared Jones and Michael Braswell has been slumping a little bit, and even Stephen Milam had a tough year overall at the plate, yeah. I think, but especially in recent weeks. So can some of these guys like show a little magic and get things rolling on the base paths? I certainly hope so. And the pitching, I mean, has been solid. So you think if we put maybe five or more runs on the board, we have a very solid chance to win each and every game. And so I'm kind of cautiously optimistic in that regard. And we saw the performance at the beginning of the year, especially against those non-conference games where we were putting up 12 to 15 runs a game. And so you don't need that every night, but just somewhere near there, like 6-7 or whatever, and you should be pretty much good to go. So I think we'll be all right. And Jay Johnson will definitely be focusing on that this week. And so I guess good luck going into Friday, the first game. I was trying to find the schedule for the actual
2 p.m.
Yeah, so Friday, 2 p.m. Central against Arkansas, Little Rock, and then the other game, 2-3 at 6:30. And so we would play again, if we win, Saturday late afternoon to evening probably. And then it always gets jam-packed on Sunday and Monday, like if weather or if they have like the extra elimination games or something. But it's going to be an exciting weekend no matter what. And so, yeah, if you're in Baton Rouge and you want to see some postseason baseball, try and get that ticket, hopefully not too expensive, and go support the Tigers.
Exactly. Be a part of history as well. Probably, I mean, we could always break record sales, you know, ticket sales. But yeah, other than that, it's if the weather holds, right? I mean, we pretty good week for SEC. They did, like I said, they did adjust some things because of expected weather, but there was no issues, right? There weren't teams playing until like 1, 2, 3 in the morning, although LSU's always primed and ready for that, but didn't have to deal with it. Like I said, Sankey didn't have to cancel a game because of bad weather, but I mean, that comes down to luck, right? Because they schedule these tournaments a year ahead of time. So we'll see what happens. I haven't checked the weekly forecast for Baton Rouge. Hopefully it's fine. If not, Tommy, you and your guys got to get some fans out there and just blow everything like back west or just north.
It's supposed to be a very wet week here in Louisiana coming up. Now, I looked at the forecast. It's supposed to be sunny on Saturday, so that's good to know. But I think there is, and we had bad rain this past or today, and then moving on through the rest of the week, I think it's supposed to rain a little bit. So that's something to monitor.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you guys have anything else? Anything we
talking thunderstorms? But no, I think that's about it. The only other thing, not even really LSU related, but was William Tate, LSU's president, leaving to take the same position at Rutgers. So that's kind of athletics adjacent, since he's been, I guess, a proponent of the Athletics in recent years. I don't really have too much insider information on that, but a little bit weird to be leaving after only 3 or 4 years at the helm. So hopefully whoever else you assumes the next position, they'll have to deal with all the boosters and all the drama that goes with it, but good luck to them.
Yeah. I mean, you got to give William Tate credit. I mean, he was the president who oversaw hiring Tim Mulkey, Jay Johnson, and
Brian Kelly.
And Brian Kelly, yeah. So, good for him. I think he was a decent proponent of the sports program. Maybe there's even a higher ceiling for the next person. So that'll be another monitoring on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. One other thing I did want to mention, there was a couple other newsy things. Yeah, some lanyap. LSU did I had some news for football and basketball. Football, LSU decided to retire the number from their former great Charles Alexander, who was number four. So they're going to retire his number four, joining, just three others, really. Billy Cannon, who was number 20, then the number 37 worn by Tommy Casanova, and then 21 worn by Jerry Stovall. But Alexander was the first 4,000-yard rusher in SEC history, a two-time Heisman Trophy finalist. So congrats to him. I guess Joe Burrow's going to have to wait a while.
But to say, you got to think, like, if it took this long for him to get and how long for Burrow?
I don't know. I mean, he won the Heisman and a ring.
Yeah.
But if his last name was Sanders, that would probably help. That's all I'm going to say.
I think that was good for Charles Alexander. Yeah, definitely deserved. One of the great running backs, kind of tangentially friend of the pod, Charles Alexander. He's Tommy. Is it, what's the relationship there?
My stepdad does business with him.
Yeah. So Tommy and I have met Charles Alexander, and he got us like on field passes for a game a couple of years ago. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, respect to him and congratulations. And I don't know if the current players wearing four, do they get grandfathered in or do they have to give up their numbers? I don't know how that works, but kind of strange.
I think they might have to give it up. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But I tell you what, we'll check on that. I will send a text message to Verge and he'll get back with us.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I did want to mention, and I'm curious if Daniel was at all involved, but LSU basketball landed a commitment from a shooting guard from Australia, of all places, Marcus Vaughns. Daniel, did you have something to do with that?
Well, I can't say I recruited him directly. I was kind of spreading the good word about LSU in the Southern Hemisphere and in the land down under, but I didn't talk to Marcus while I was there, but I know if we would have, then I could have put the finishing touches on that recruitment. So I'm glad to keep getting these guys, and I guess LSU worldwide is spreading.
Yeah, it's just like walking down there with an NIL basket and just tossing stuff as you skip down the cobblestone path.
Yeah, the U.S. dollar has been real strong against the Australian dollar recently, so maybe he wants the NIL payment in USD.
Yeah, and go straight back to Australia. I couldn't say I blame him if he did. Anyway, I don't know. That's all I had. Unless you guys had any last-minute newsy notes, that might do it for us.
No, thanks, Sue. Tune in Friday for the regional, and go Tigers.
Yeah, go pack the box if you can. You're going to have most likely 2 weekends to do it, but we will definitely follow up with you folks next weekend to recap the regional in Baton Rouge and see what's going to look like for the Super Regional, who the Tigers, assuming they win, will be facing. So until then, I hope everyone has a great week. Stay safe, stay tuned, and we will talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigers.